All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just had to cut in. I just got here. I got to the station. I want to do the show for you. There's a marathon. There's a marathon. It's taken over the University of Manitoba here, I could not access the station. It was very frustrating. I was trying to figure it out. But I made it here. I'm a few minutes late. But let's just kick into the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Riding with the Queen. I am your host, Rami Mays. And today's show, it's good to be back live at the station. It's been a couple weeks. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Recently, I did a show on the phenomenal Charles Bradley. And he's this man who had a success in his music and his career and became well known just at the tail end of his life. And for today's story, there's quite a parallel to today's story. It's today I've decided to feature and go with an almost unsung hero of blues music, a man who was nearly unknown to many for most of his career until later in his old age as well, like Charles Bradley. And I'm talking about the late, great R.L. Burnside. It's a really cool story from anonymity to having fame in a more contemporary culture, actually in like the garage and punk blues scenes, solely like in the last 20 years of his life. The music arc tells a cool chronological timeline as well, because we'll hear it morph, from sort of the North Mississippi Delta blues sort of style to edgier blues, and then eventually to a completely modern sound that somehow runs seamlessly along the way. So the music arc of the show is pretty cool. Sit back, relax. Let's do this. Let's go through a very interesting journey of hardship, loss, passion, and I would go as far as to say musical victory. R.L. Burnside, Robert Lee is how he was named, was born in rural Lafayette County in Mississippi in 1926. He was, by the time he was like 16, he was already playing guitar and harmonica and even performed, 20, 21, 22 years old, he was on stage. He was hugely influenced by Fred McDowell, who was about 20 years his senior. He was just a small kid when he heard McDowell play, and he learned by emulating McDowell's style. By the time he was in his 20s, Burnside would often join him on stage, actually, and as he grew up, he also credited the likes of Lightnin' Hopkins, John Lee Hooker as his influences. As well, he credited Muddy Waters, who was actually his relative. I believe it's his cousin-in-law. I didn't even know there was like a cousin-in-law, like you can say that. That seems a little bit gratuitous, just cousin, man. So before we move into the R.L. Burnside story, let's warm up with a little music, I think, from R.L.'s early years. We'll start with a little R.L. himself from his first recordings, followed by a Fred McDowell track called Shake 'Em Down. So here's R.L. Here's R.L. Burnside with Going Down South on Riding with the Queen.
Thank you. God, Lord, it must have done.
It was in the 1940s that R.L. moved to Chicago to live with his father. He spent some time with Muddy Waters in the clubs on the famous Maxwell Street in pursuit of the musical dream, you know. But he had a hard time, to say the least, when, this is crazy, within 1 year's time, his father, his two brothers, and his two uncles were all murdered in the city, all in 1 year. So, needless to say, it wasn't long before he moved away and back south. He's just like, no, Chicago's not for me. You lose your family in 1 year. That's a terrible story. So the strife begins there. He moved around a lot over the next many years, and more strife came when it came to pass that RL himself murdered somebody. I have a little clip coming up, actually, of him talking about it. And apparently it was over like a craps game, just some money and some gambling. He did some time in Parchment Farm, the oldest and only maximum state prison at the time in Mississippi. After only 6 months, though, he was released. He was sentenced to 5 years, but he was released because his boss said he needed him as a tractor driver. And so he was released. Things just don't work that way. Ever that I know of, or definitely now. Anyway, let's listen to a little more RL right now. Let's start with that short audio clip I was talking about, where he's actually talking about killing the man. And then we'll hear another early recording tune, Like a Bird Without a Feather. That was from a recording, actually, that this journalist, George Mitchell, made in the 60s with a bunch of blues dudes in the Delta and Mississippi. And he went to Earl's home and lent him a guitar to record those songs. After that, we'll hear a Muddy Waters tune called Champagne and Reefer to bookmark his few years with Muddy in Chicago. So here's RL Burnside and Muddy Waters on 101.5 UMFM.
I didn't kill him now. I just shot him. I told him that looked to him in the Lord by then.
Most of the time, people, when they claim self-defense, it's usually, you know, when the guy's walking towards them, not
turned away. Yeah, to judge me, you know. I read that you shoot him in self-defense. I said, no, sir, I shot him in the leg and he jumped a bit.
Well, you caught him in the head, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, shooting dice.
Was the dice loaded already?
No, no, it wasn't loaded.
The gun was.
The gun was loaded.
So how much money did you beam out of?
Oh, about $400. And back then, that was a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know,
that wasn't a lot.
They gave me that for 5 years, but I think the man I was working with, he was a big man, you know. And I didn't serve but 6 months down.
That's a good deal.
You know I'm lost without your love. Just like a bird without a feather. You know I'm lost without your love. Just like the angel needs heaven above. Well, you know, as soon as I shot my baby, but I did it because she did me wrong. Soon as I shot my baby, but I did it because she did me wrong. Yeah, no judge called it murder. Now penitentiary in my home. Said she didn't love no one but me. Yeah, you know, I love that woman. She said she didn't love no one but me. But I caught my baby cheating. Now my home ain't where it used to be.
All right. Okay, we're gone. Roll it. Champagne when I'm thirsty. Bring me a ripple when I want to get high. Yeah, bring me champagne when I'm thirsty. Bring me a ripple when I want to get high. Set her right down here by my side. Well, you know it shouldn't be no law. It's people that want to smoke a little. of dope. Well, you know it's good for your head, and it relaxes your body, don't you know?
Spent the majority of his life in the South, in and around Mississippi. He was a sharecropper, a fisherman, a truck driver, and really only a part-time musician, picking up local like juke joint gigs here and there. He did have some great opportunities along the way, and he did make it to Europe. And he in the late 60s, like, he played a fest with Lytton Hawkins and John Lee Hooker in Montreal. In the early 70s, he played the first of many times at the New Orleans Jazz Fest. He also spent some time with Kenny Brown accompanying him on slide. Kenny Brown, sort of, you know, at Burnside, just had a shining towards him. He liked him a lot. He mentored him, and he claimed him as his adopted son most of the time. So they were pretty close. RL also had a band called Sound Machine when he recorded his first album with them, called Raw Electric. And Sound Machine was actually made up of three of his sons and a son-in-law. So there's my Father's Day tie-in. He's a father, too. A family band, indeed. So let's jump right back into music now with something from that recording called, from Raw Electric, called My Baby Caught the Train. And then let's play a Kenny Brown track, just so you can hear what RL was all loving him about here on Riding with the Queen.
Oh, I'm going to the racetrack, gonna see my pony run. Yeah, now if I win some money, baby, know I'll bring you some. Say, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know my mind. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Yeah, I hit my baby one time, Lord, I blackened her eye. Yeah, I would have cut her throat, but I scared she'd die. Lord, you don't know, Lord, you don't know my mind. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Yeah, gonna jerk me a pile in from my yard's back fence. Gonna whip my little baby, gonna teach her some sense. Yeah, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know. See me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. What you need with a fool, I guess so it won't run. What you want with a woman, call her, she won't come. Say, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know my mind. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Build a solid road, takes a good loving woman, satisfy my soul. Say, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know my mind. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Yeah, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know. Well, you don't know my wretched mind, baby. You don't know, Lord, you don't know. See me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Yeah, now you don't know, Lord, you don't know. Well, you don't know my wretched mind, baby. You don't know, Lord, you don't know my mind. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Yeah, you see me laughing, Lord, I'm laughing just to keep from crying.
From 1980 to 96, Burnside started doing some recordings, and he was mostly solo or with harmonica accompaniment by Johnny Woods, actually, who was Fred McDowell's longtime musical partner. I guess there ended up being a little bit of a jealousy from Fred to RL over time, but I think they were able to handle it. But it was, you know, he was Fred's, Fred was his mentor, and then sort of took over at some point. Anyway, I found a filmed duo recording of Johnny Woods with RL on guitar, which we'll hear coming up right away. But I wish you guys could see the footage instead of just hearing it. It's super charming to watch these two guys together. They're probably stoned out of their mind. If they aren't, they're just having a really good time. But they've just got these poop-eaten grins from ear to ear. So anyway, that's really charming. That's coming up right away. It was finally in the mid-80s when Burnside sort of found his stride, I guess. Oddly enough, though, by now he was in his 60s. For about 12 years, he worked with New Orleans-based harpist Joni Morris, and he was performing at least, once or twice a year on tour. And some of them were pretty esteemed shows. He recorded, made these recordings of those shows and tours with Joni Morris, and they were called Acoustic Stories. That was 1988, and Well, Well, Well in 2001. And this seemed to be just the beginning of the adventure for him. So let's hear that track I found on Woods and Birdside called Suzanne, and then a classic track from Acoustic Stories called Skinny Woman, where you can really start to hear Earl's changing approach to a more dirt-driven sound rather than the traditional acoustic blues. So here's some Robert Lee Burnside on UMFM.
Hey! Suzanne! You know she come all the way from overseas. What she done? She come on back to Gulf of Mexico. You know Suzanne, my tight gal. She got two dimples in the jaw. You know when she walk up the street. She got two devils in her jaw. You know when she used to love you? That's why you got to break it, Lord.
Skinny Woman. Well, I don't want skinny woman. Well, I don't want skinny woman. Me don't shake it. Me don't shake it. Me. Thank you. Well, she won't cook no breakfast. Well, she won't wash no clothes. All she do, walk up and down, walk up and down, walk up and down, walk, walk, walk. She won't cook no breakfast. Yeah, she won't wash no clothes. All she do, walk up and down, walk up and down, walk up and down, walk, walk, walk.
So in the late 70s and early 80s, Burnside was introduced to and struck a partnership with Junior Kimbrough. And that was an epic time for sure. This led to many nights and many years of Junior's at Junior's Place with many other celebrities coming along. And that sort of all lent itself to becoming this documentary called Deep Blues, in which Burnside was prominently featured. And as things do, with one good thing happening, it leads to another good thing happening. And the year the documentary was released, the now very well-respected label Fat Possum recorded RL, and he stayed with that possum actually right through all his remaining years to his death. They released Bad Luck City in 1992, and then in 1994 the album Too Bad Jim was recorded at Junior's Place. It had Calvin Jackson and RL's grandson Cedric Burnside on it. So let's hear from Junior Kimbrough and then something from RL's early Fat Possum recordings, and then after that musical set we get to where things really heat up in the story, and we approach the musical era that I love the most out of all Burnside's years, when he joins forces with John Spencer and the Blues Explosion. But before we get into that, let's do this here. Let's listen to Earl Burnside with a track called Peaches from Bad Luck City, followed by Junior Kimbrough. And that's a great track. I think it's a live track. It's called Everywhere I Go here on Riding with the Queen.
Smile.
And now, my friends, we have reached a great era, a great point in, it's my favorite era, I guess, of Earl Burnside. One of my top 20 all-time favorite bands is John Spencer and the Blues Explosion. And they cross these wicked genres of like blues, punk, garage, rockabilly, hip-hop, and rhythm and blues just seamlessly, and they're so badass. And I think it really educates the closed-minded on the different genres of music and bring together like a common sound, which we can all relate to, which I like to refer to as rock and roll. After catching John Spencer's attention at a New York concert just post the release of the Deep Blues documentary, Spencer and Burnside started working together, and it didn't take long for John Spencer and his band to catapult RL into a new, younger, sort of garage punk type of audience by collaborating on an album together called A Pocket Ass of Whiskey. And that album is so good. It's just top to bottom, amazing album. So I'm going to make sure I throw a tune of that off that coming right up. This collaboration album led to touring together, and on those tours, RL would like open the show, sometimes sat in. Blues traditionalists thought the album was awful, which is actually really good news to those who are trying to make anything but a regular blues album. So it kind of brought like the past to the present. Old blues, new blues. I don't even want to wait and talk about it much more. I wish I had time for more of these tracks, but let's at least spin one. This is Boogie Chillin' on Riding with the Queen.
I say I feel so good.
Mama told Papa,
got the boogie.
Got something you heard.
Yeah, got the boogie.
Hey, look at young woman.
Come on, got the boogie.
Don't believe a word.
Oh, shit.
We're gonna boogie.
Yeah.
So clearly the label saw the value of producing music in with recorded materials that were remixed with techno, down-tempo, and sort of like hip-hop. And so now without John Spencer, they continued the idea with a track in the 1997 album Mr. Wizard. It eventually matured into a full album called Come On In 1988, which is a really cool album. Burnside continued to tour perhaps more extensively than ever. He ended up touring with the Beastie Boys, and he was actually a musical guest on Late Night with Conan O'Brien and among other high-profile shows and appearances. There were a couple albums after Come On In that had similar hip-hop beats sort of like weaved into them, but my favorite of all-time examples of this melding of down-tempo and blues is a song on RL's final album. His final album was called A Bothered Mind. And there's this song I'm going to play for you in a little bit here. And it features a rapper And a producer. His name's Lyrics Born, and I'll play that for you in a minute. It's so addictive. I could play that song like 5 times in a row, 10 times in a row, and just not want it to stop. As his final years were encroaching upon him, though, his health was diminishing, and we actually were supposed to have him here in Winnipeg, and he couldn't due to, I think, one of his earlier heart attacks in like 2001, maybe. At the top of his success in his finals days, he was nominated for a Grammy, and he was really just like the last 20 years skyrocketed. R.L. Burnside passed away in 2005 following years of a couple heart attacks, and until the time of his death, he still got out and did guest performances at various festivals and moving on. RL's talent and strength in his vocals and guitar playing only strengthened with age rather than weakened, and we are left with 13 studio albums, a couple of live albums, and many collaborations to listen to and really dig into. His career may have only peaked for 20 years, but his music, it's just timeless. So thanks so much for tuning in today. I really, really appreciate it. I'm going to leave you with a track from A Bothered Mind. It's RL Burnside, Someday Baby. Until next week, you've been riding with the Queen.
Y'all out there? All right, let's get this thing moving.